And welcome to Ascension Day, the Warhammer 40,000 Genesider Cult podcast. Today is a State of the Cult episode where we're going to be talking about a whole myriad of subjects. Everything from current GSC win rates, some of the lists that are winning, speculations on the army rule, data slate. And with me, I have two guest hosts. I have Floof, who is another GSC content creator slash harbinger of the Hosts of Ascension. You know, has been recently helping put Hosts of Ascension on the map over in the West Coast through some of his tournaments. And I have the show's very own Discord moderator Elias, who has been tearing it up in over there in Sweden with GSC. So thanks for coming, guys. Floof, if you just want to give us a quick little intro about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So hi everyone, my name is Floof. I am a competitive GSC player who has been in the hobby for about 4 or 5 years. Only really started getting competitive in the last year and a half. I am trying my best to end the year as top ranked in the ITC thing for GSC, but it seems that Ennis decided to wake up late and take that from me. But, you know, it's
damn
fine.
Him.
But yeah, I am. I run a little channel. I talk in just about any Discord that has a GSC channel. To try and help and teach people to get into this faction, because as we all know, it is one of the hardest factions to pilot, and it has some of the least amount of content. It's hard to get into something that is very difficult to play, and then no one's telling you how to play it, so I've been trying to fill in that gap.
Awesome. Hell yeah. Yeah. And I think you've been, and I'm just going to put a shout out for Floof here. His content that you've been putting out has been extraordinary. I've been enjoying your YouTube. That's been really good. And then, yeah, just the stuff that you've been putting in the Genesider Cult Discord has been awesome. It really helped me out whenever I first started seriously playing the faction, because I didn't seriously start playing the faction till 10th edition. So that's been super helpful. And I'll make sure that if anyone wants to check out Floof's stuff, I will have links in the podcast notes, so that way they could check out your YouTube channel.
Yeah, I haven't posted for like a while, but I'll actually be I'm finishing up editing an episode today to go more into what like Swarm Host is, you know.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And Elias, if people are a member of our Discord, which all of you should be, shame on you if you're not, they'll know that Elias helps me run the Discord, helps put out does some of the technical aspects on the back end, as well as, you know, helps just kind of manage everything in there. Elias, tell us everyone a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Elias. I'm from Sweden. The only non-American over here, so I guess I'm not. Oh, well, whatever. I've been playing Genesider Cult since probably around 2 years now. Started picked them up in 9th. I helped Gabe out with this Discord because apparently he can't do it himself. I'm here. Hi. I'm also a moderator and member of Vesla, the Swedish 40k community. We have a big Discord about, we recently passed 1,000 members. Some people might actually know us from the big data sheet, the big like spreadsheet we did for VCW or WCW for all the lists with all the players, which I helped out with. Shame on you who didn't put your faction in there, made me spend about half an hour trying to figure out if I missed the list or not. But yeah, mostly playing Outlander Claw, but I've been playing a bit of Host of Ascension because that's apparently what's most popular over here.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you both for coming on, and I'm excited to do some deep dives into our favorite faction. So, kicking off this Day of the Cult episode, the big, big, what would I say? I wouldn't even say it's necessarily like the elephant in the room, but like one of the big changes I think that we've seen GSC competitively is their almost overnight rise from a mid 40, like 45-47% win rate to what is now the highest win rate in the game at 57%. This is going off of StatCheck's website using their I use their last three metas, which was Pariah 1.1, 1. They made one for NAS winning a GT or a major, and then the 1.2, which was the recent balance update. And even through all of those data sets, at a 57% win rate with a 1.72 over rep, meaning it has the highest over rep in the game. Hold on, sorry, second. Now, recently, past 1 point, if you're just looking at 1.2 data set, they've been eclipsed by Guard, which to no one's surprise. What are your guys' thoughts on what happened with?
I think I know what happened. There was an update that let us call to that let us deep strike from call to ambush, and that made such a big difference.
Yeah, for sure. So that happened back in it was before WTC. So I think it was summer,
End of July, end of June, somewhere.
I think it was end of June. But even then, going into WTC and Nova, GSC still maintained a, high 40-ish% win rate. And then going into this data slate, it just exploded, into the top of the rankings. Going off that, what do you guys think happened with the overall meta to allow GSC to kind of come into that place of such a supremacy?
If I can't, I think one of the biggest things for it was the most recent points changes. There were some things that were good and there were some things that were bad. I think overall bringing the characters' points down, like the Primus and the Benefictus, was good. I think that needed to happen. I think 90 for the Primus right now is obscene, and I think 80 for the Benefictus was also obscene. Them at 80 and 70 feels all right. I would like to see it a little bit more drops for the Primus because you don't really see him outside of host, but that's just me, right?
Yeah.
I think the big thing that kind of tipped it was how many things got brought down. If it was just the Neophytes or just the Acolytes or just the Bikes or Aberrants, I think it'd be fine. But when you get 5 points back on every unit that you're taking and you take them in three ofs or four ofs, and now you can fit in just one or two extra units based on the list you're doing, it can really snowball. And I think they aren't the worst. This is going to be my hot take. I think actually GSC's win rate right now is a little bit higher than it should be. Absolutely. Simply because it is a faction that no one has reps into. I think I could obviously be wrong here, but I think if time goes on and people start playing into GSC more and they kind of figure out what the game plan of GSC is trying to do, because it's not playing regular 40K. GSC plays its own game, right? At least the host list that I'm used to. That the win rate will go down a little bit more. We've had these kind of things to where a difficult faction comes into the meta and oh my god, it scares everyone, but we just kind of give it some time and the win rate actually goes down because people just figure out how to, what its weaknesses are, right? So I still think we can revert the points buffs on I would say Acolytes and Aberrants can probably go back up. I think Neophytes are fine at 65, and I think Bikes are okay at 80. You're still not taking them outside of anything outside of Outlander, but they're all right.
I take them in host.
Yeah, I've seen a couple lists take them just as little pressure pieces, but Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. And then Elias, do you kind of echo what Floof is saying?
So looking just from the Outlander, looking for my Outlander claw list that I used before the point changes, my list went down 65 points. Gabe messaged me the same day asking if it was Christmas, and because he got like 120, 130 on his scenic grid list.
Yeah. A lot.
But yeah, like just looking at the Outlander claw list I used to play, like because I played the MSU Acolyte spam. I swapped around some. I dropped the Reductus for paint for Pure Strain Squad. I put in a Clamavus and I changed an enhancement on Killamorph, and like so I got an extra Pure Strain Squad. That's an extra that's an infiltrator unit that can block off a lot of more things than the Reductus can.
Right.
Which is pretty nice for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm also one of those guys who love cheap lone ops, and running triple Kellamorph is the best thing I have ever done.
It's so good. Oh my god.
Kellamorph
so
is actually the reason I picked up GZ, because I saw a Kellamorph model and then thought, this is my life now.
So. That's right.
Three armed space cowboy man. Yeah.
Yeah. They're awesome. But yeah, the Kellamorph is unanimously decided to be the most annoying model in the entire Gothenburg area of Sweden after I've been running it around in the local lead. So
yeah. No, that I think yeah, the points drops, like that was huge. And honestly, Floof, like I'm pretty much in that same boat of like so I said this in the stat check Discord, that I think a lot of list writing post or once we got our codex got really lazy when it came to deep strike denial. Like infiltrators, I stopped seeing them. Like I stopped seeing mm-hmm. like cheap squads of like infantry guy to just, you know, hold a point and like go like hover around the center to deny 3-inch deep strikes. I think that happened for a while. So it's like, it was almost like the perfect storm of GSC got points cuts. People weren't writing lists that really had GSC in mind. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, boom, like a bunch of really good players started coming back to GSC. Well, so like Eric Lathuris, Alex McDougall, Innes. And then also like the people who stuck around with GSC were also continuing to innovate. So people like you, Danny, you know, Elias here in back in Sweden. So it was almost
I would put a shout out for Olaf Svensson from the Swedish team as well, who has been who has been doing a lot of stuff with Host of Ascension. It's actually his mm-hmm. Host of Ascension list that I'm playing right now.
Oh,
When I'm not playing Outlander Claw.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, like, it was almost, a perfect storm. And, but I also think that, and if you look at, here, let me just look at Pariah 1.2, because if you look at the most current meta, based on stat check, GSC are now down 60%? To... yeah, they're at a 60%. But yeah. I think what was it? But I'm just curious, like if you so you look at that, but then you look at WCW, and what a lot of people expected to be like one of the favorites to do really well, highest placed was I think 34th, and that was with Alex McDougall. Mm-hmm. 35th place. And I think that shows that the top of the meta, or like the top ELO players, really are starting to re-remember what GSC is, what they can do, and what happens if you disrespect them. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I think there is another factor in GSC that is more prevalent in it than any other army, which is the fact that if GSC gets sneak buffed when people don't tech for it. And there, it's kind of ironic right now, because also with the Quillens and like Retconjure doing good and like Hypercrypt still being a thing, trust me, 3-inch deep psych totally isn't a problem because they've overprinted it. That like people teching to go against those lists do kind of inadvertently tech against GSC, right?
Yeah.
And so that could have been a reason why it wasn't taken as much to WCW or didn't do as well, because you just have that inadvertently in there. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things is that if people aren't expecting GSC, GSC goes crazy right now. Oh, yeah. Like, for example, a lot of people have been talking about how this meta is very vehicle heavy, right? Or at least it has been in my locals, and that's what I've been hearing from like any of the other like top content top players and their content channels, right? Like Art of War and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, East Coast, like the Mid-Atlantic over here, it's also fairly vehicle heavy as well.
Right. And so GSC is kind of one of those armies that can be very anti-vehicle, but in their own way of going mass infantry. So they go counter meta. And so now you have this, you have a list that's just a bunch of dudes that are good at killing big things. And then your opponent goes, well, I have this Annihilation Barge that has like only a couple shots, but they're 4 damage. Damn, I killed the hell out of that one wound neophyte, you know? It's kind of like wasting a lot of the output.
Yeah, that's been my own experience into Sisters, especially.
Oh, yeah, whole spam Sisters has been like a godsend for me as a GSC player, because it makes my decision-making so easy.
Yeah, my round 7 at Cali Cup was against a Custodes player, and I had super great guy, super nice, loved him, had a great game with him. I could kind of tell what the pairings were going to be the night before, because we were high enough up that you could kind of see who was going to be paired with who. Yeah. And so I looked at his list, and he had, I was going through it, seeing like what I needed to think about. And as soon as I saw that he had 2 of the grab tanks and that they had the like anti-big profiles, I was like, cool, I win. Yeah. I closed the app and I went to bed, because it's just like half of your list is just like, I'm going to go kill big things. And it's like, cool. Yeah. Kill the hell out of that neophyte, brother. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. And, I think as a GSC player, especially a Host of Ascension player, like when it's very obvious what I need to be spending, you know, crit 5s and +1 to wound on, it makes my life so much easier, right? Like, it's like, oh, you have 3 big bricks? Okay, so I have 3 scary neophyte units that I'm going to buff the hell out of, and they're going to annihilate those 3 bricks, and then Acolytes go trash hunting, and then you have nothing left on the field. I think if we were to be in a meta that was kind of back to more MSU, like I think about, I don't know if you guys remember this time last year, during CSM's like Reign of Terror, that was awful, because it was just MSU guys with a shit ton of melee attacks, and low nop, and it's like, Christ, I can't get a break. You know what I mean? And especially like with the index, where it was Acolyte bomb, you know, the army, it was so hard to prioritize like targets without getting, you know, 30 legionnaires like running at your face.
Well, that's why, like, even back in Index when I was at the Bay Area Open last time, playing Index, I only brought 1 Acolyte squad. I brought the 120 neophyte list in Index, even, because I was just like, I'm gonna 3-inch deep strike to like block out all of your rhinos so you can't get around me, just so I can like possibly buy myself another turn. So first turn, I crack all your rhinos, and then next turn, I can, like, kill all the inside stuff. Because, yeah, it just, anytime that, like, orc truck and boy spam is good, or, like, blood angels are also pretty good at just picking us up, because a JPI unit will just kill us.
Yeah.
Anytime you have, like, these nice tradey things to where, like, the meta's more MSU or, like, elite, GSC does kind of inadvertently suffer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So just combination of points drops at the right time, meta being, you know, more centralized around big expensive things, and just like a lack of preparation.
And yeah, ultimately. And the deep strike change as well.
And the deep strike. Oh yeah, and the deep strike change, yeah. Like just sitting there waiting in the wings to like once this army gets cranked, like it's gonna feel really bad. And you know, especially with Host of Ascension, not a lot of people picked up on this, and I didn't at first either, was the fact that GW did FAQ that you can use three inch deep strike on Colt Ambush, which is wild.
So good.
There was actually a little bit of time before that FAQ where, according to WTC, because there were, the ambush actually wasn't reserves, you could 3-inch deep strike next to a 12-inch bubble denial, which made assassinate very funny because you could just deep strike next to a navigator and blow it up.
Yep. Yeah. I whenever we were doing, I was in a team. TTS team link that used the WTC FAQ from that time, because it started before WTC changed it. And God, I only wish I could see the look on people's faces when I 3-inch stuff away from their infiltrator unit, being like, "Yeah, they're not reserves, buddy. Sorry, punk, and you're dead."
in my local games, I play against a guy who keeps running like double regimental attaches in guard, and putting one of them next to Leontos, and I would just deep strike a big unit next to Leontis and blow that entire unit up in turn two.
Yeah.
So yeah, but those were the glory days. Yeah, yeah. It was stupid and it should have never happened, but it was funny for what it lasted.
Yeah.
It was like getting prepped for Cali Cup. They were using the WTC rules, which I had never played under. I had always played it under like GW stuff, and so the FAQ dropped kind of right around that same time, and I'm looking and I see like I'm looking at my Neoswarm list because of the points. I'm like, well, it's pretty good. And I see the 3-inch deep strike thing from Cult Ambush, and I'm like, all right, that's pretty good. I'm probably gonna take it. And then I saw the whole infiltrator bubble thing, and I was like, okay, yep, slam dunk. Thankfully, we got to the event, and like me and the three other GSC players talked to the judge because like I think 3 days beforehand they had ruled the ruling. Had come out that you can 3-inch from Colt Ambush, so they're considering it as just regular, like they're taking it away that you could ignore the infiltrator thing. And so we talked to the judge and we're like, hey, it's past the like cutoff for the rules, but it's also just going to be healthier for the event. Can we all just be gentlemen here and agree that infiltrators work as intended against GSC?
Yeah.
And thankfully it did. So that, because that was going to be absolutely stupid.
Oh yeah, the amount of crying and pain that you'd witness. But like, oh, this 100-point unit just doesn't work against you. Oh, that's great. So something else that I've been looking into is these overall like archetypes that we've been seeing out of GSC, especially like with players towards the top of ELO. It looks to be very Brood Surge heavy, which shout out to Alex McDougall, because that dude called it at the beginning of the Codex. I remember talking to him. He's like, oh yeah, Brood Surge is gonna just destroy everybody. It's certainly been one of the most popular, especially in teams,
that I've been seeing really good.
Yeah.
So when it comes to like the like archetypes or attachments, like I think it like went slightly in waves because everything like started when Eric started winning with Outlander Claw, and then everyone picked up Outlander Claw, and then Danny and Innes started play like it. Danny's been playing it all the time, but then Innes picked it up and he has a bigger reach, and people like found out about the Brood Surge.
Yeah, so everyone thanked Innes for Eric's list.
Yeah. Oh, the memes that came out of that were so great.
It's so great.
Yeah. Have you heard about Innes' Brood Surge list?
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Poor Danny. But yeah, and like now I feel like I've seen Host of Ascension popping up everywhere again. So like it's like I feel like it's gone like eras. Mm-hmm. Ever since Eric like won that event with Claw. So it's been like Claw, Brute Search, Hosts. Like Host is up on the up and coming, but we'll see what happens right now.
Yeah, then we'll go Xenocreed, and then someone will figure out how to make Brood Brothers work. Actually, you know what? No, we're gonna make the secret new detachment that's coming from GW next month work. Then we'll maybe figure out Brood Brothers.
Please if let it Popper's be Prince. Rusted Claw. Let me throw demo charges on bikes again.
I would love to see Popper's Prince, dude. I think that'd be really cool. But I know Xenocreed is like kind of like, but it's not the same. But right now, Brood Surge has the highest play rate with 4 event wins. Mm-hmm. Next is Host of Ascension with 3 event. Yeah, and then we got Outlander Claw with 0 in this meta. But if you back up to Pariah 1.1, let's see. Let's see what we got. Then we got the two event wins, I think, which is Eric and Innis, I want to say, for those two. So yeah, definitely what you're saying, Elias, like there definitely seems to be a play the shit out of Claw, get tired with Claw, play the shit out of Brood Surge, get tired of Brood Surge. And then I think, honestly, Host of Ascension has always been decent. Like has always been pretty good, so I just think that those people who have been like playing it, plus like you know some of the top GSC players kind of shifting over to that, is now really starting to put Host of Ascension more in the front view of what's going on. So what do you guys think about the overall health of the different archetypes that you're seeing.
Elias, you want to take a crack at this?
Yeah, I can start. Like, I think we're in a pretty healthy space. Like, we have 3 detachments basically are playable, like those 3. Then we have Xenocreed, like, slightly below, and let's not talk about the Brood Brothers, because my Cyclops are looking at me and looking very sad. But, so I feel like, in my opinion, like I think Host and Brood Surge might like they punch harder. I think Claw is more stable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but like I think in the end it comes down a lot to like playstyle. Like I've been playing Host for a while now, and it's not been going great. And then like I played a game like yesterday, and I was like, I was crying because I could because I was missing my reactive move, and I think it's just because like Claw speaks to me on a different on another level, like it's my playstyle, mm-hmm. more so than Host, and I can't roll charges for absolute trash, so I'm not gonna touch Brute Search because I'm the guy who will fail 6-3 in charges in one turn, so not touching that.
How about you, Cliff?
I think what we're having right now is essentially a product of our codex actually being very well internally balanced between the detachments, because I think, like, I have one of the people that I coach, he has been switching between detachments pretty frequently just to, like, see which one meshes with the most, and I think there is something to where we know we can change a lot, mm-hmm. And so we're more open to doing that. With the fact that, you know, we can go to Host and there's something there. We can go to Brood Surge and there's a list there. We can play Xenocreed. And I think Xenocreed is one of the more consistent ones, like Claw. It's just that it also has the most walls. If you run into demons or you run into Monster Mash, you don't auto lose, but man, it's like 8-2 advantage to the other person, right? Like, it's rough.
it feels really bad. Like, it's like the only thing you feel like you have is your plus one to hit, plus one to wound, Primus unit. It's like that's what you got going for you in terms of a punch, and everything else is just like, God, I hope this works. I thank God it's I have crazy. Grenades it's, in abundance.
It's just gonna be like I'm gonna move block you forever, and if I roll my recursion,
yeah,
it's what that field scene grid is. Or you can play against me and get like a 5-man back in turn 4 when your entire army's dead.
I don't want to talk about that. Like, I don't want to talk about that.
But yeah, like I feel like when it comes to like that, Scenic Creed feels like it's I think it's like slightly below the other three, but
yeah,
it's not
just
bad.
Because I think the others deliver a game plan that doesn't rely on your opponent. Exactly, host is, yeah. I'm just going to shoot you. I'm going to be everywhere. I'm going to pick you apart. It's going to be rough, and I think it offers the most like board control in terms of like stopping your opponent's movement and all this type of stuff. Outlander Claw, instead of trying to win in the shooting phase, you are winning in the movement phase. Move blocking your opponent a little bit with bikes. You're really controlling the OC game, and you're not really trying to like kill your opponent like Host is, because Host obviously highest damage, in at least in my opinion. Host will have games to where it can just table your opponent, and Outlander Claw almost has no games to where it can just fully table its opponent, right? But it will absolutely table their primary. Yeah. And then you have
they will also nuke through your secondary scoring, because Claw has the damage to pick off the scoring units.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It won't kill like your big guys, but like your scouts, your mandrakes, all that type of stuff, dead, gone. We're finding those and we're taking them out, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have Brood Surge, which is just, I'm gonna be in your face. And instead of the movement phase or the shooting phase, I'm going to win in the charge phase.
Yeah.
Yes, a lot of the melee stuff will just hurt, and you could say that you're winning in the melee phase, but really it's the charge.
Yeah.
It's, you just grab stuff, you touch stuff, you just be an annoying little asshole as much as you can, and it's rough to play against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think that's indicative of a really good and stable book right now. You know, when our codex dropped and we were getting compared to Sisters, it was pretty rough. But now I feel like the tides have kind of turned, because you look at Sisters and they're just like any list you write, you're like, I mean, I could play this in Hallowed Martyrs or whatever the hell, but I mean, you know, Bringers of Flame just kind of has the better rules, so why not play it there? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm really happy for that. And I remember on the Codex reveal episode I did with Danny, like that's something that we kind of talked about, is like, I really feel like the book, something that I appreciate about the book is that it did give me four completely way, or five if you want to count Brood Brothers, five completely different ways of playing the army, which felt really nice, versus, you know, a lot of other like codexes or indexes. It's like, I'm gonna play the same thing, just like slightly different with slightly different rules. Like Sisters, for instance. Like, I feel like the Sisters archetype has been the same the entire time their book has been out. Like, really no difference. Other than just maybe a few key unit changes, if you want to play like Hallowed Martyrs or the Axe of Faith, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess going from that, something I wanted to talk specifically about, since you're on here, Floof, is neophyte heavy archetypes. I will say, I wish I explored more neophyte heavy archetypes in the index. I was pretty much a two units of 20 guy for the majority of the index. Sometimes I did three units of 20, but it, like, play once I made that leap in Host of Ascension, it feels really good. it feels really good.
Disgusting.
Oh, like, yeah.
There are just some games to where it doesn't matter if I get anything back. I'm just gonna dominate my opponent. Like a lot of times it's into like T3 armies, just because then all of your auto guns damage like actually becomes very real. Like into some builds of Drukhari, into Eldar, I've seen honestly kind of into Sisters as well, because you just kill everything except the tanks and then just sit on them. And then you go and you have 100 plus bodies that all have 2 OC that are regenerating. And then, like, if they do their shooting phase wrong, well, now one of your damage units is going back up into Deep Strike to drop again. It's just... It delivers a very difficult problem for your opponent to try and solve. And the more times they submit a wrong answer, the game will snowball even more, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, they get further and further behind. So currently the list I'm playing with, I have 80 neophytes. Three of them have stubbers, one with lasers. The rest kitted out, you know, as normal. Laser unit has the Chink in the Armor Primus. The other three all have bennies, one with Assassination Edict. And it just fills me, like, I get surprised every time when this 20-man dumb unit comes down and then lethal and sustains, like, a knight off the board. Like, it's just ridiculous, especially, and one of the things that I didn't take into account when I first started playing it, but has really reaffirmed my commitment to neophytes, has been... When, let's say, turn two, I drop three of my units. One of them's got three in Deep Strike. But I have two chances to throw 41 OC onto a point with a 9-inch Deep Strike. It's ridiculous. And then once things are, like, clogged up in Neophyte Jail, like, 9 times out of 10, they're not killing 20 in a single activation.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the big things that people... Or go ahead, Elias. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, but like Eric just played a team tournament back down in Sydney, I think it was.
Oh, did he?
And he played Outlander Claw, but I think he played like 40 neophytes in 10 man.
Mm-hmm.
Like even he's like moving into fights now.
Yeah. It's for 65 points. They really do just an insane amount of stuff, right? And the thing is that that's one of the things that people aren't realizing about this archetype is you're not just sitting back and playing gunline with 120 guys as acolytes go and sit on things and all that kind of stuff. It's when I have a drop turn, there was, I want to say, in about a third of my games at Cali Cup, it was, I would have like a slow turn one and turn two between my opponent and I as we're staging to get position. But because of that, when it comes to turn three, I have an infinite amount of resources to drop. Basically, like, we're talking 80 neophytes, probably. We're talking 4 or 5 mans of acolytes, or 3 5-mans and a 10-man, depending. And then you just shoot an obscene amount of stuff, and then you go, okay, charging, this 9-inch charge, this 9-inch charge, this 9-inch charge, this 9-inch charge. And obviously the likelihood of making those 9s is low, right? It's like, I always trick the math for it. It's like 28% or some weird thing. But
I know it's 48 with a reroll, but...
Right. Yeah. But what I'm getting at is that, like, over 5 or 6 attempts at you only need one, and it already starts to get, like, real weird for your opponent, right? Mm-hmm. If you wrap, God forbid you wrap a transport or something that has something in it or anything like that, it gets real spicy real quick, and you just start... The list goes, I'm going to kill your highest damage units. Okay, now I'm going to sit on you.
Yeah.
And you do not have the way to get 150 bodies out of your face.
Exactly. And then it's like, some of those harder things, like, well, now I'm going to force desperate escape tests, like, on a third of your army, because everything is completely wrapped. And it just, it gets ridiculous.
And also right now, when you finally kill that annoying pesky unit, it comes back and does it again.
Yeah, comes back, 3-inch deep strikes, you know, throw, and then even if it's leaderless, you could still throw, you know, crit fives on it, and, you know, it can pick up, like, a medium toughness unit. So, it just...
I do like the fact that we can come from deep strike right now. I would like it if there's a stipulation that's, like, in your next movement phase you can do it, because there's also some times to where I've dropped something in from deep strike, it gets overwatched, it dies, I roll the 4-up or 5-up, okay, hey, I'm just gonna leave my guys there because that's where they come back in.
All the time with flame with flamer acolytes, especially.
I literally, like, the other day managed to do the thing against the Hexmark.
Mm-hmm.
Where it overwatched twice, killed the unit twice, and it deep struck again.
Yeah. I had that.
I felt so bad.
We're like a Landmater Redeemer, killed like 10 acolytes. And then I rolled the Cult Ambush, and I'm like, hey, you fine if I just leave them there? And my opponent just like does a like deep sigh, shoulder shrug, and he's just like, yeah, man, I guess. Like, I'm sorry, brother. I like spike on my like damage. I do like 6 damage into it, and then I make the 9-inch charge.
Oh,
and he's like, all right, yeah, all right, yeah, cool, whatever, man. Just tell me if it's dead or not. It's so rough.
That's the problem with our army right now. Like, no one, like, it's not fun. It's not a fun army rule in
it's one not. Sense.
Like, it, like, when we get everything back, our opponent's spirits get crushed. When we get nothing back, our spirit gets crushed. Like, there's no in between.
Well, it's even to the point of like, I like to win a game knowing that I outplayed my opponent, that I was the better pilot, right? And the Cult Ambush right now, like, it doesn't feel like a good player skill rule. It feels like there's going to be games to where I just won because I ended up having 3,000, God forbid, 4,000 points on the board throughout the game, right? Like, I didn't win by beating you, I won by just having more stuff.
Yeah. Like, I played Claw in a tournament, and my opponent was like ready to rip his hair out when he killed my army for the first time.
Yeah.
So
or me and Gabe's game where Gabe got absolutely nothing back.
Playing Xenocreed, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like at the start of turn 4 was like, we can just stop here.
Yeah.
So dialing back a bit, we're gonna go about more into the Cult Ambush stuff here a little bit, but so overall with the neophyte like heavy archetype, so I had a little stint where I was playing Xenocreed pretty heavily, and I will say Xenocreed I think in teams is stupendous. I think it's probably the best GSC. And whatever people come at me and whatever Discord, I think Xenocreed is the best GSC detachment for teams, because when you don't have the ability to deal with like recursion horde, it feels like I played into Custodes, like he had nothing he could do. There was not a damn thing that dude could do.
The whole thing with it is just like they lose to fights first and they lose to like monsters and all that kind of stuff. And in teams, if you're able to avoid that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, now your okay GSC detachment becomes very, very strong. It's nuts.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And so something I was experimenting with in Xenocreed was a neophyte heavy approach. And
really?
Yeah, and it was purely for OC. It was purely for just tossing OC, and once, you know, my Primuses and my Icon Wards died, tossing on the Oath of Moment stratagem, essentially, right, for the full hit rerolls. Then when the Neophytes came back, it was like it was like playing a mini Host of Ascension. It didn't do nearly the amount of damage, but it was just enough damage to just like whittle someone away over five games of Warhammer.
Yeah, I feel like you really could just thinking about it, because I haven't looked at Xenocrete in a little bit, but I feel like you could do a thing to where you just have like a throwaway unit that's like an icon ward and like some Akka and some metamorphs, so you can like scout and go get them killed into something that's important, and then you have like some Beneficuses attached to neophytes, and you just go, hello, full rerolls and lethal. Please leave.
Yeah, and you put and I had Survey Augurs on my Ridge Runners, so they got the ignore. Yep. So it was essentially in the games where it worked, and I wasn't, you know, getting flambéed by triple Rock Grinder. it felt like I was playing Host of Ascension with a better army rule, because the recursion, because you get the reroll on the on the recursion. Definitely, I still think Host of Ascension, especially if you're going to go neophyte heavy, is the singles way of doing things. But if people want to try some interesting tech in Xenocrete, I'd throw 40 to 60 neophyte, especially with the new points, with the new point changes. I say new, but with the current points as they are, like, you could fit 60 neophytes and a bunch of shit in there. And especially the +1 to hit, +1 to wound Primus with the neophytes, chef's kiss. It feel great.
Well, that was kind of the thing back with when the points first dropped. The thing that made me look at Swarm Host again was that I was just like, you know, in bed, haven't like fallen asleep in like 30 to 40 minutes. So now I'm on my little list builder app and I go, you know what, let me just check this out. And I put in 120 neophytes and then like 6x5 acolytes and like two of the little Gretchen acolyte squads, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like 1200 points. And I'm so used to like swarm lists when I get to like the 200 body point that it's just like, oh yeah, here's 1800 points. Throw in two characters, that's the list. But like, you're looking at 1200 and there's still stuff to put in, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can afford support for that list as well as characters to like tune at least two to three of your squads to like be real damage, right? So that was the thing that really set it for me. And I think Xenocrete, you need I think you want to go much more acolyte heavy. So I don't think you could make a 120 list really work. If you could, it'd be interesting. But I think there's that sweet point between like 40 and 80 that can really just start getting real weird for your opponent to deal with. Because then also when they sit around and God, when there would be times to where I would just wrap it in, like in at Calicap, where my opponent couldn't get to a point on turn two or anything like that, or maybe they just kind of left the center open because they didn't want to walk out, and I just go, okay, I'm gonna wrap it in Grez 20 neophytes,
yeah,
and I set them on a point and I sticky, and then I just walk forward and I touch stuff, right? Well, now in Xenocrate you go, hey, I'm gonna advance and here's a CP. Now all my guns have assaults. I'm gonna shoot the hell out of you even more now.
And I'm gonna advance
the charge. It's so good.
Yeah,
it's so good.
I started playing, and I remember I was talking to Elias about this. I started playing the Xenocrete right after Nova, because I brought I think it was 80 neophytes. No, it's 60.
You brought a list that gave up 40 secondaries in Cold Horde and Assassinate. That's all I remember.
Yeah, yeah, as any good GSC list should be. Though no one ever took Fix against me, which I think is actually probably smart, because I think if you take Fix against GSC, I just don't let you kill anything. And then
it's such an interesting question that I've been going back and forth in my head, because like, I played against Vanilla, who he was on his Blood Angels, and he ended up taking Storm and Cull. He ended up getting full on Cull, but there was a couple turns to where I could deny him Storm, to where I just said, okay, I'm going to take the primary hit, but I really need to mitigate your secondary scoring, right? Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because the game was super close. And we kind of thought about it. If he had drawn any, like, he needed all of his activations. So if he'd ever drawn any action secondaries, then he's down the hole even more, right? But then also, yeah, there's that thing to where I was able to play keep away and stop knowing what he had taken. Like, say he had taken assassinate or something like that. I can still mess with that. So, like, I think the opponent's in a real damned if you do, damned if you don't situation between tactical and fixed.
Yeah, and then you just plan for the, and then especially playing Host of Ascension, you could just plan for the secret mission of bow line, and yeah. You know, it, yeah.
The Neo Swarm list is also fantastic for denying secret missions, because I guarantee you your opponent's going to look at the board and be like, I can't score like 3 out of 4 of these.
Yeah, absolutely. But so I got back from Nova playing Host of Ascension with that, and I was like, and something I realized is at Nova, I was like, dude, I was charging with neophytes all of the fucking time. Like, all of the time, it's like, all right, they charged, they did their 9-inch, I'm gonna roll the charge now, and I'm just gonna keep doing that over and over. I was like, what if I was playing a detachment that just said, Gabe, go do that. Just go do that. That thing that you were doing, or we're gonna give you tools so you could do it better. And the games that it worked well, it felt so damn good. Yes, if it sucked losing a bit of the damage, but I think that, but it was instantly mitigated by 40 OC. And so the Xeon Creed list, I was like, I think I had 60 neophytes, a bunch of acolytes. I had you have 10 metas, a unit of 10 tacos, tool acolytes, and then 6x5 flacos. And then I think laser runners, and I think maybe a truck. And that was pretty much the list. And it felt really good. Like, assault on neophytes, like, just it, but it felt really good. I didn't ever try the Benny, like throwing in Bennies just to like have some dudes like waiting in the wings of like, okay, as soon as you kill my my icon ward, like now I'm getting full rerolls with lethal. So enjoy that, God,
it's
brother.
Real good. That was one of the things I was thinking about when our codex first came out, because I was really interested in Xenocreed. But now, like, essentially that combo has gone down 20 points, because now it's only 200 points for 20 neophytes and then the Benefictus, which is just, yeah, I'm totally down for that. And to also comment on the just charging things with neophytes, just to really point out to the listeners how many things you can get away with in doing it. I had 2 matchups against World Eaters during Cali Cup, and I've played against them a couple times. Other times, in both of my games, I took 20 neophytes and I charged Angron, because if he does not have sustained hits, there is no physical way that he can kill 20 neophytes in one activation. Because he has 18 attacks. And so that keeps him there on their turn, because they don't have access to fall back and charge, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And so you just say, cool, you're sitting right the fuck here, and I'm going to go kill all your 8-bound.
It's beautiful.
It's so disgusting.
My personal favorite when it comes to World Leaders is just put a big line of neophytes right in front of them and be like, okay, you're not getting past me because you don't have fly.
Yeah. It's so, oh my god. Like, what wins? You know, a 10,000-year-old regiment of, you know, battle-hardened marines, or 20 dudes that just dug out of the ground 3 inches away from you.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Whenever I play against them, my 2 little 5-mans of pure strains do the four-armed emperor's work by simply standing 9 inches away from their deployment zone and going, well, I'm not redeploying to get away from here, so you're either losing your scouts and killing me, or you're losing your scout move and you go first and kill me, or I go first and I sure as hell am going to stand 1 inch in front of you.
Oh no, either Overwatch. Way, you're not,
yeah, either way, you're not getting to my deployment zone. I don't care.
Yeah. I've been a big fan of at least having 2x5 pure strains as of late. They're so helpful. Especially against the guard matchup where you could just tie up a Lehman Russ. Like, God, that feels great.
it's amazing.
So yeah. Definitely recommend to folks. Really throw the neophytes on the table, man. They're great. They're great. I like them in Xenocreed. They're amazing. Oh, that's something that I wanted to ask you about. So I know in your current Host of Ascension list, I think only two of your neophyte units are being led. Yes. Have you thought about including more bennies, or are you liking the other 60 neophytes like remaining leaderless?
I really am liking them remaining how they are right now, because the whole... I think my answer is going to change when December comes and changes to Cult Ambush happen, right? Because right now my list is designed to give me as many Cult Ambush wolves as possible and go, well, I'm not like Danny. I can actually make 5-ups. So I'm going to give myself as many opportunities as possible to roll that. When it becomes something different, whether it's like, hey, if it's a full man, it comes back as a half, or you only get a set amount per game, or maybe it's like Jukari to where you get little tokens by doing things throughout the game and you can redeem those to bring stuff back, right? However it is, I think in that point, I will like to do more led units, because now I can kind of like play the control game of like, what can I get away with, right? I think right now I'm just sitting there at the slot machine, just grabbing the arm and doing as many rolls as I possibly can. I will say I do like a I've been looking at a list. It's like a Primus with Flaw in their armor and triple Benny, and just fucking sending it.
That's my list, and it's I just played against knights in a team game, and like having a unit of 20 neophytes just like half wound a big knight with zero strat support because Benny just hashtag Benny things like feels really great.
Yeah, I played against Chaos Knights I think for like my round 6, and he put a Lancer on the middle point, and it gets to my turn 2, and I'm like, all right, well, time to kill God with a swarm of bees. And I dropped the Benefactus Neophyte Squad and just 10 Acolytes. And I hit him with the Mortar. And I go, okay, here's 96 Hand Flamers, full rerolls, AP1. Okay, now here's the Benefactus. And the Acolytes brought him down to half. And then all the mining lasers, he just failed every invuln. And I was like, okay, well, that's dead.
Yeah. Well, you're dead.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to definitely see December, and as a neophyte fan, I'm pumped to see what lists you crank out. But we kind of started getting into the next topic of discussion, the new army rule. So, Elias, what do you think? And for all the listeners out there, this is just us speculating. There's, you know, maybe there's some rumor intelligence running around. But as far as I know, there isn't too much specifically about the army rule. So this is just our best guess. So Elias, what are you thinking about the army rule? How is it going to change? Because we know it's going to change. GW has said that they are changing it. So,
well, they seem to really like putting tokens into everything, or like an internal resource. So
yeah,
my personal guess is probably going into some sort of token system. How that will kind of work, I'm gonna leave that. I'm not gonna speculate in, because it might be like you start the game with tokens, or it's gonna be like Jukari where you can generate tokens by killing stuff, or I have no idea how it will work. But I think tokens might actually be a good thing, because then you can also guarantee getting stuff back, which is one of the like biggest problem with the army rule in general. The feel bad of not like playing a game and not having an army rule. So yeah, tokens probably, but how it's going to work, I don't know.
What about you, Floof?
So I had a night to where John Warhammer himself visited me and told me a special little thing to where he said, and I quote, "It's going to be slightly worse, but it is going to be within player control." Obviously, I'm not going to say who told me or anything like that. I mean, no, it was John Warhammer. So whether it's token based or however it is, I'm not a game designer. So there's like a lot of things to where I could say, oh, it should be this. And maybe in actuality and testing, it would be like broken that way, right? Like you could do a thing to where as your units die, you get points. And then you like whenever something dies, you have a trigger to like spend those points to bring it back. But then
like a rage
cost
meter in video games, like,
so like
keep
that could
punching
be cool.
Me, punching me, punching me, and then boom, like, yeah.
Yeah, but then your opponent goes, oh, well, I'm just going to kill your aberrants first. That way you don't have the points to get anything back or to buy them back, or right? So like there's, but also then that's counterplay and that's good, right? Like that promotes interaction and thought. So maybe that is a good thing. It could be like, I've always liked using the Jukari pain token thing as a thing, as like something to go off of, because I think that is really cool. Something to where it rewards me interacting with my opponent. And like forcing trades and all that kind of stuff. And as I trade more, well, then I get more stuff back, right? We've also heard the whole, oh, if you bring a full squad size, then when it dies, you get a min squad size. Well, sure, that's fine. But man, that's kind of boring, in my opinion. Because then you just go, here's my 4 bricks of neophytes, and here's my 4 bricks of acolytes, and my 2 bricks of pure strains. That's my list. Thumbs up. And it's like, cool. If that's how GSC is, then fine. Because then maybe that'll be cool at the end to where you have all these little guys coming back and it's they're not strong enough to actually do anything, but like your opponent's weak as well, so I don't know. All I'm saying is that whatever it is, it turns out to be, I just want to have control over it. I want it to be something that is based off of player skill. And in whatever fashion they do that, if they allow the GSC player to showcase their skill through the effect of the army rule, then I will be happy. Genuinely.
Yeah.
Because I think that a lot of GSC players are very skillful. I think you have to be skillful to play this army. And I think if you have an army rule that isn't just random chance, but instead rewards that player skill, it's going to be a lot more rewarding. So I'm looking forward to the changes, and I just, I'm just looking forward to it, because also I think it'll give GW a better jumping point in terms of balancing our points, right? Because like back at the start of it, they had to balance it for if we're coming back on a fucking 2-up, right? And that's just, that's insane.
So on a 2-up where you could drag the unit across the map.
Yeah, so maybe Cult Ambush rule goes down a little bit and isn't as powerful, but we keep our current points. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fine. I think it's like, oh, you only get 3 units back in a game? If I only got 3 units back in a game, I would still be running my Swarm Host list, as it is, because I think it's just enough, right? Yeah. So, I'm really looking
forward
to it.
And here I will say a thought that I've been saying for the entirety of the edition. Give me my fucking Crossfire back. I love it. Give it back to me.
Yeah, that's like the staple GSC thing, right? Every GSC player that played ninth just wants Crossfire back. The only thing is,
I like drawing diagrams in my opponent's turn. Please give it back to me.
Yeah, I absolutely thought that Crossfire was one of the best rules out there. And I mean, there were a lot of people that are like, no, it was too complicated and da 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 da. No, it wasn't. It was fine.
Just get good. But I see what the issue is.
Yeah, I just didn't want to incite that much of heat on my first time on your show. But yeah, it's kind of scary, brother. Yeah.
It's fine.
At least I started it.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll blame Elias.
But so, I think we're too far down. If it was before the Codex came out, totally. Yeah. I would think it's still on the table. In fact, there was a part of me that was coping and thinking, no, they're going to change it in the Codex, I swear. But I think we are locked in at this point that 10th edition GSC is going to be recursion. unfortunately.
And I mean, I don't think that's necessarily bad. I think that like in ninth edition, you saw GSC being the killy horde. You know, 10th edition is the horde that doesn't fucking die. But yeah, something along, just give me the ability to choose and have influence in my army rule. I remember, I forget what Discord it was in, but someone even like brought up the idea of like, I know, you know, in certain like card games, you could have side decks, like almost like side army points, where it's like every turn you can bring X amount of like side units in.
Well, then it's just summoning.
Yeah,
it's just summoning.
It's just with extra steps.
Don't remind me of those goddamn pink horrors.
So we're playing demons now, huh?
Yeah. That was fun. Anyone who remembers the infinite summoning of pink horrors.
This was Zinch's plan all along.
Yeah, really.
But yeah,
like,
even if
you look at other random quote unquote army rules like World Eaters. Like, yes, they're rolling dice randomly at the start of every battle round, but they have something to pull from, right? So maybe if we roll X amount of cult ambush dice, and then we can use that to purchase X amount of cult ambush units, sure, fine, whatever. So long as there is, like, a base minimum that when I roll something, I get something. You know?
Because, like, I think, like, no matter what, they can get, was it advance a charge?
No, or... it's plus two movement, I think, they can always get.
Feel no pain. Yeah, it's like plus two move and like feel no pain are kind of like your like defaults that you can always get or something like that.
And you can build a game plan around that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, because like they get at like even at the worst state they get something. In our worst state where we roll zero recursion, we get nothing. At least they get something.
Exactly, which feels so bad. It feels awful, because I mean at the end of the day we are playing with guys with a 5+ armor save who are either T3 or T4 single wound, zero invuls outside of the Primus and the Benefictus lol sometimes, and you know some of our lone ops. So
yeah, like you say that we don't die, we die. It's just there's too many of us to kill.
Exactly.
Oh, we die like flies. It's just that how many flies can you kill?
Exactly. Yeah, how many attacks you got, brother?
Yeah. So, I guess going from the army rule, so I think something that a lot of GSC players are worried about is what's the data slate going to look like. So December is going to be huge, right? We're getting an army rule change, we're getting an additional detachment, and there's a data slate. So right now, I know GW like doesn't necessarily do whatever StatCheck does, because I know GW also looks at, they look at RTTs, they look at like, because they care a lot more about the casual player, which is 95% of the people who play Warhammer. So if you were to look at all the data value, I guarantee that GSC is not like the top if you were to factor in RTTs and stuff like that. But they're still probably within the top 5 to 10 factions, like all, you know, quote unquote competitive games played. So
because you got to think that like GSC isn't very newcomer friendly, like at all. And my two local game shops that I go to, there have been people that have picked up GSC and they just can never win. And they're like, how do people play GSC? And everyone's just like, well, we play against this guy called Floof.
Yeah.
And he's put us through hell. So I'm sorry, you're going to have to get to his level to get anything done, right? Like the gap between like top performing GSC and just into GSC, it's
very cosmic.
Vast. Yeah, oh, it's insane.
I am, as far as I can remember, I lost my first, and Elias remembers when I first started playing GSC. I think I lost my first 20 games.
Yeah, same.
Like, in a row. Like, did not win a single fucking game. And I'm just staring at this aberrant that I built for the very first time, you know, like saying, oh, Gabe, you're going to get into this army now. Like, and I'm like, why don't you work? Why don't you punch? You have so many arms. Like, it is an army where it's so weird. And it's, and this is not like a 10th edition thing. This was the same in 9th. This was like, this was the same in 8th edition, like talking to people who played in 8th edition. Like, the army has always been like that. Of like, it's like, yes, there was the time of like Thick City GSC where it's like LOL 30 aberrants, like go playing Twisted Helix. But even then, like, it was a very small amount of people playing the army. And right now we're at the top of the leaderboard. Like, there's still 2% of games being played is by GSC.
I will say just real quick, I love that you have exactly two archetypes in GSC in terms of their player base. And it's like the super competitive, like trying to like 4K, like 10,000 IQ their games with like Host or Outlander Claw. And then you just got the fucking dude bros. They're like, hell yeah, brother, Muscle Beach. 30 aberrants will never die. And it's like the most orc, like world eater, like archetype in GSC. It's great. I love them.
It's so funny. And then you have
the guys who will play Brood Brothers, whatever you tell them.
Our weird guard cousin is just in the corner, like, man. Yeah.
Licking the walls, being like, why doesn't Lehman Russ?
But I could take 3 Hellhounds with my 60 neophytes.
Painful screaming.
And also, I've also seen GSC lists that are like, don't bring Ridge Runners, and I'm like, why?
In the index, I did bring a Ridge Runner-less army for a while because I was just like, "Fuck it, I'm going all bio, like no vehicles at all." It was okay, and then I put Ridge Runners back in. It's like, okay, no, this is a lot better. but so
I like, so for coming from looking at the data slate, at least one unit I can see going up in points is the Ridge Runner. It's
unfortunately, yeah.
Because the Ridge Runner is the backbone of everything. Like, I think you probably need two in every army. But
at least, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My personal bet is Ridge Runners, Aberrants, and Flaccos are probably all going up. I don't think considerably.
I think they can just go up like 5. I think you can revert the points for Aberrants. Like, they're okay. The only thing I, like, don't feel good about is the Ridge Runner, because, like, I almost akin it to, or, like, you know, it's like you can't write a list without them. Although, yes, GSC lists you can, but we know that the list is just going to function better with them. But, like, what I mean is that, like, for 75 points, the Ridge Runner is fine. It's just the thing is that it does something that nothing else in the army does, and that's why it's an auto take.
And it's so desperately needed. Like,
yes, and so just like with Magnus, his buffs are desperately needed. If you run a Thousand Suns list without Magnus, you just don't have a 2K army. It's just not pointed correctly, right? Exactly. And so the thing with Ridge Runners is that, like, you can make them 80 points, 85 points, 90 points. That way the GSC player doesn't take as much. But it's not, it's hurting the health of their list versus stopping them from being greedy, if that makes sense.
Reason number 69 of why war gear is very important to have in the game. Just make mining laser Ridge Runners more expensive. If only, because that would be such an easy fix, right? Because I would
take 2 squads of neophytes with full weapons, and then 4 20 mans with no weapons, and be like, here are my 120 bodies.
They all have shotguns. They won't do anything. They will run at you and scream, though.
They're not even cold shotguns anymore. To my big sadness.
I know, hybrid weapons, stupid.
I still say shotguns.
Oh, I still say shotguns.
Shotguns until, like, my, like, I'm 20 inches away, and my opponent's like, wait, what's the range of this? And I'm like, okay, technically, they're called neophyte firearms. I just call them shotguns. Let's move
mine
on.
Mine are all modeled shotguns, so, because
we played in 9th edition.
Yeah, exactly. And my head canon is that GSC are space rednecks. Like, if you think about it, if you really think they are, space rednecks. They're just sitting there in the Appalachian Hills with their shotguns and their couple extra arms, you know, because, you know, their sister be looking mighty fine, making their moonshine. All of a sudden, you coming into these parts and bam, bam, boom, Jesus. Dynamite, you know, everything. Yeah. So yeah, they all have shotguns.
And here I'm going to piss a couple of people off. Where the fuck is the Appalachian Hills?
Is which one?
Where the fuck is the Appalachian Hills?
Oh, the Appalachian. Oh, it's on the east coast of the U.S. It's That's gonna take a whole. We'll have a whole other episode of Gabe's redneck Appalachian headcanon of GSC. It'll be great. We'll talk about it. I'll ask your guys' opinion on this as well, but I really don't think that GSC is that much better than the rest of the field. Like, and that's one of the original things that we talked about is like, it's like, this is the perfect situation for GSC to currently exist in. So it's like, I do unfortunately worry of a future where GSC come or with GW comes in with a hammer and kills like two of the three units that are desperately needed in every single GSC list. Now, granted, I am trying to write lists that move away from Flaccos or as Flacco heavy, kind of for that reason. But even then, you still need some. Like,
I was like fine with like two or three squads until I ran six squads of five, and I was like, oh, this is.
Bullshit.
Oh, this is nuts. Are people aware of this? I think we need to tell like the government. This feels wrong.
Like, I keep having people like ask me, like I tell them like, okay, so I have about 30 hand flamers, it's string free, and they're like, haha, they reroll wounds and they have AP1, and they still underestimate those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the, like, and the funny part
they
is
just hear, they
say...
just hear string free and they go like, ah, whatever. And then they like take way too many wounds from them.
Mm-hmm.
I've had times also as well, because like you'll like save a squad or two to like do actions or whatever, right? But if like bottom of three comes around and you haven't drawn any of your action secondaries and you got this like unit that you go, I don't think five guys kills this, and I've kind of got all their other chaff handled. Well, maybe 15 will do it. Let's just drop every fucking, and you just pick people up. It's disgusting. God forbid you also get. Charge right after.
Oh yeah,
and now you have all of their attacks at AP2
or free.
If you guys want to know what being close to the many armed god feels like, you take your Flaccos, you take your neophyte brick, you spend 2 CP and give them both +1 to wound, and then you point at something and then just watch it explode. Like, when those dudes are wounding everything in the game on fives, like with full wound rerolls, it gets silly. It gets silly.
I played a team tournament not too long ago, and I killed two Nuclear Vortex Beasts plus Magnus in one turn.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Flaccos.
Might be something about rolling five mortals on a on grenade and five mortals on a web on a single Weber. But yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. On my round two at Cali Cup, I played against Renegade Raiders Space Marines, and they had brought Vashtor, and I got to round three and Vashtor's on the middle point, and like I had dropped maybe a five man and 20 neophytes on turn two, and like everything was like just kind of being handled inadvertently, and I was like, you know what, fuck it, and I dropped 20 flame acolytes and like two neophyte squads to shoot at Vashtor. I hit him with the ridge runner, but he popped his armor of contempt, so he's saving on twos. But if I'm right, I hit him 96 times with flamers and wounded him a total of like 30, and I was like, hell yeah, brother! You better start making your two ups.
Let's see him. And yeah, it gets ridiculous.
I think going into the charge phase, Vashtor had one, and I had six squads to declare a 9-inch charge.
And they're still rerolling wounds in the charge phase. Gotta love acolytes. I think my only hope is that the points hikes kind of stop there. Because if that's the case, we'll be fine, right? Like, we'll be fine no matter what, because we are the chosen ones of the four-armed gods. So, like,
I think we might lose like one or two units, probably.
Yeah, like my current list is poised to lose 75 points and be fine. Like, I drop a pure strain squad. Okay.
That was the thing, is that like, it wasn't the points that set us over. Because if you really look at the points, like, I got a squad. I wasn't losing my games by going, oh man, if I had one more unit, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So it really is all the other stuff. I do think points still need to kind of go back up to reflect that, because where Flaccos are in the five-man aberrants, I think they can be at their previous stuff.
Yeah.
But it really is going to be interesting to see how everything else shakes out.
So, into kind of like our last subject of today, GSC into the new year. Let's just say we got some. Our army rule now has some ability of player manipulation. I'm pretty sure we're all on board. Like, it's going to be something where the player gets to kind of have a little bit more input into how Cult Ambush works. Given that, what are you guys kind of excited to try, experiment with post December?
You want to start, Cliff?
Yeah, sure. So, I always and forever will be running swarm lists. That is how I play 40K. That is what I love doing. My my first getting into 40K was with Tyranids, and the first time I went to an RT, I brought a 300 gaunt list. Like, swarm is I love it. I'm one of those fucking maniacs that just enjoys it. So I will be trying to make maybe not 120 neophytes work if points go back up, but just full bio host, or honestly, after today, I'm probably gonna look at Xenocreed.
Hell yeah! You should really try. It's a lot of fun. Advance a charge and assault on whatever you want feels really good.
I know, it's just but yeah. Anyways, so I want to see how that works out, because I think if I can be selective within a game of I need more, like, say you can only use you only get three units back, but it's whichever three you want, right? You can just say 1, 2, 3, these are mine. As they die, you can say, yes, I want this one, no, I don't want this one. Then as you, like, play a game, I think it would be super fun to, like, hey, do I need more action pieces? Hey, do I need another brick of these guys? Do I just need the bodies, right? Like, you slowly start to figure it out. I think that would be super cool. Yeah. So that's probably what I'm going to mess with, is still figuring out how swarm lists work, and then somehow making them work, going X and 1, or God forbid I can get rid of my curse and finally go X and 0 at some big event, and then giving that list to the greater GSC community and go, mess your backs up.
Experience pain. Get stabbed 20 times by dudes holding daggers as you move your neophytes on and off the board 69 times in a game.
This is why you play 30 pure strains, because if you lift one, you lift all of them.
It's true. They're all fucking connected. Yeah.
God, I think my favorite thing of 10th edition was just seeing that Gene Stealers move to bigger base sizes.
Yeah, that's...
Oh,
I like new sculpts.
The new sculpts are great.
By the way, the mouth straights.
Yeah, the Malstrains are used for my army, and they're gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm waiting on, like, a good Malstrain-esque STL to come around, and your boy will be printing those, because mm-hmm. they look incredible. I mean, I have my patriarch right now. He sits on my computer and stares at me all day and judges me for not giving more of my time to the many-armed emperor. But I'm excited to try and do, like, was it the Malstrain Alpha? Alphys?
Yeah.
Making him my patty.
Yeah, I ordered him, and I'm going to be having him as my guy soon as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They knocked it out of the park. GW and Necromunda, man. Like, god damn it. It's like, especially when people were doing the conversions for the Necromunda brain boy. Oh, my god. What's his name? The Spider? The Spiker, I think is the Spiker. Yeah. Went to be the Benny stand-in. I'm like, god, he was perfect for that.
Now that it's out, it's much more body horror, and it's not as close, so I doubt I'll get it approved at too many events, but I really want to run the Coalescence as my Benny. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw the Coalescence. It's the, like, zoanthrope-looking thing that has, like, a mouth that's got it's got a face that has, like, a tentacle coming out of the mouth.
It's like you said, a body horror, like amalgamation of, like, just organs kind of, like, pressed together, yes. Right?
And that is my shit. Oh my god, I saw that and was like, absolutely.
They have one that looks similar to him on TTS, and that's my Benny whenever I run him on TTS.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, I know exactly which one you're talking about. Yeah, he kind of just floats.
Yep.
Yeah, that dude's sick. What about you? What about you, Elias? Were you hoping to try?
Well, so my creed is, how much bullshit jank can I inflict on my poor opponent? So I'll just look at whatever is the most bullshit thing I can do, which is usually just me reactive moving a shit ton of OC up on objectives and going haha. But yeah. I'll probably still be looking at Claw to begin. Mm-hmm. Might depend on what happens to the Ridge Runners, because that detachment needs them badly. If the Ridge Runners come out, maybe not scot free, but not too badly, I'll probably still be looking at Claw, because that's my jam.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah.
I will say, if the December detachment comes out, and you're right, and it's much more Pauper Prince, I'm probably going towards that, because if I remember right, Pauper Prince is also very... It was the board heavy one, right? It was the one like an invuln, right?
They had an AoE 5-up invuln, I think I want to say, in Pauper Princess.
Yeah, something like that.
Just give me that, so I have 120 neophytes, all with a 5-up invuln. It'll be fine. No one needs to worry about anything, I promise.
What's the name of that thing? It was a relic of something.
Yeah, right? It was. Yeah,
yeah, it was.
It was a relic. Yeah, and I think they normally put it on...
it on the Primus.
Was that Primus? I thought you put it on the Magus. Was it the... I'm trying to remember 9th edition Magus.
So what it was, at least what I would do is you would put it on the Primus, because he also had an aura thing to pass out, and you would sit him next to the Nexos, and the Nexos would say, these two units are always within the aura of whoever I'm standing next to, and you point at the Primus, and they get the invuln, and I think it was rerolls or some shit.
Reliquary of Saint Tendark, that was the name.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Primus put reroll ones to hit, I believe.
I'm in the funny site right now. I'm looking at old 9th edition rules.
I believe
reroll hits of one, and then the reroll wounds of one for core.
Yeah, so it's either going to be Pauper Princes or they're going to be Mad Lads and give us a Brood Brothers detachment, but with Tyranids, and it's just going to be old forces.
Of the Hive Mind. Oh my god, yes.
That would go crazy.
Alex McDougal would be like
shit
shouting
pants
to the stars.
That is his baby. And anytime I had him on the show, that was always the thing that he'd always like. That he'd always be like, I just want forces of the Hive Mind back.
That's how I got into GSC. Was I had Tyranids, and then I would just run a forces list, and it was so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I. I think I could see them doing either. I could definitely see them doing either. I think that the other detachments have already been like kind of like fleshed out. Like I think Helix is pretty fleshed out, like in terms of 10th edition equivalents. I think Claw is pretty fleshed out. Not even, because I know Claw was like it was more bike heavy than yes. or Rusted Claw was more bike heavy than Outlander is, where you really only need a couple units of five bikes. So I could definitely see them going.
I mean, that's more so because of the current state of bikes and not really the detachment rule.
It's true.
Like,
yeah.
I keep trying to put in a 10 man of bikes, but I like the points get so weird at that point, so yeah. I just can't fit it in. But another detachment that, or another cult they haven't really like fleshed out enough might be is actually the Bladed Cog.
Bladed Cog was the Acolyte one, wasn't it?
No, they had invul saves and they could reroll wounds.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, add 3-inch range characteristics, have range weapons. That was the cult creed. Yeah.
Considering
like the Bladed Cog, it's a little bit like the congregation of this, whatever the name is in Ascension Day is basically a Bladed Cog cult. So.
Oh god, yeah, just give me a reason to like to GSCIs my Skitarii. Oh god, I would love to see that. I love that.
The third vote is they just bring back old custom cult and let us ignore ballista skill and weapon skill modifiers and have mini transhuman. That won't be bad at all. I promise.
God,
I would laugh in the face of every Death Guard player.
Because
Death Guard players have had it too good for too long. Get them back in D tier, goddammit.
Is it just me or is Death Guard one of our worst matchups?
It absolutely is. Dude, so I went to the Maryland Open, which is like a really like competitive tournament around here because it brings in like TJ and like a bunch of other like really good players around the Mid-Atlantic. And like I was talking to my teammates. I'm like, dude, I don't care who's playing Thousand Suns, like, because it was when Thousand Suns was really good, and Host of Ascension was great into Thousand Suns.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah, like, it's like, oh, great, cool, you can Overwatch me once, and then you're going to die. And odds are I'm going to come back and still kill you.
You want me to one-shot Magnus with like, a ton of, like, stubbers?
Okay. Can do. And I was like, the only thing is I can't play Death Guard. Game one, Death Guard. And I was like,
I think with hostless, it's doable. But I
This was indexed. Yeah, no, this was indexed. So I had 20 Bomba lads.
Yeah, which just hurts. I think now with current host, it's doable. But I think with like Brood Surge, I don't know, you just have to be scores better than your opponent on like a player skill level.
A little bit on the list. There is a Death Guard list running around right now with 18 Death Shroud with Sorcerer for minus one damage. If you play against that one, you can just lock it in because it's slow. Like you just move block it forever because that army actually doesn't have that much fight first.
But if it's Plague Marines with Fights First men inside of it, like you're fucked.
Yeah, you're screwed.
And,
completely.
And they bring Nurglings because, like, why wouldn't you bring Nurglings? It's like, okay, cool. I'll enjoy hitting on fives. Thank you.
The archetype with 18 Death Shroud, you're probably fine because you can just move block that list for days.
Oh yeah. Like that one. I've seen that one. But all the best players around where I'm at are still on Plague Marines, and it hurts. It hurts so bad.
I played against the 18 Death Shroud list once, and it was just this was when I was testing out Swarm Host, and it was just like it got to a point where I had killed like one of the units, and then the other one I was like, hey, so you have 60 Neophytes standing in front of you, and we're just gonna hold hands on this point. I've stopped caring if you can kill me or if I can kill you. It does not fucking matter.
Like, I've turned the game into a coin flip. Let's see who's luckier at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the new detachment. I think, you know, being the host of the show, I felt kind of compelled to like try everything with the codex, so I never felt like I could just like dedicate all of my time to the only thing I haven't tried yet is Brood Brothers. So sure, you guys can you know talk shit about that one, but
Gabe,
I tried what?
Your Cyclops is calling you.
He really is. He's staring me right in the face right now. I miss him so much. But I'm excited to just kind of like be able to stick with a detachment for a long period of time. I'm this next year is I've already like disappointed my wife, telling her like this next year I'm gonna really try and hit a bunch of events and climb those rankings a bit. So if and especially if Xenocreed kind of gets massaged a little bit and allows like some of those harder matchups to be a bit more stabilized, I would love to just spend like a good chunk of time with Xenocreed.
I think it'd be interesting to start messing around with more mixed Xenocreed lists, because it is very melee centric right now, right? And because of that, that's why it's losing to like Tyranid, Monster Mash, and Demons, is because our high damage melee is a strength 5 weapon that says anti vehicle 4+, not anti monster 4+.
And in my experience, that those things will just bounce against those things even bounce against vehicles.
Yeah, yeah. Right. They're already kind of bouncing against vehicles. So like, if you do go more shooting heavy, and we do have that like half meme idea of, hey, have a character die, that way our Benefictus neophyte units can go kill whatever they want. Like, that's not the worst plan. You know?
You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first. This is what's going to be tearing up 2025 is Benefictus Xenocreed. So
actually, true, the Benefictus going down in points. Like, the Benefictus right now is probably at the price point where I think it's like perfect.
Yeah.
The only reason I could see like why you want, if the Benefictus needs to go up in point, goes up in points, it needs to be able to give the invuln to the unit.
I don't think.
But then it
I
needs to go up like, a lot.
It needs to go up a lot, but still, like for what it is right now, the Benefictus is perfect.
I remember
discussions where like people were like, "Yeah, at 80 points, it should give the invuln to the unit it joins," and I was like trying to very nicely and politely be like,
"20 neophytes hey, with a 4+ invuln."
So I just want to let you know that's a really stupid idea, but yeah. I appreciate the initiative, kid.
and allow them to join Icon Wards, so that way they have the 5+ feel no pain as well. I think that would be perfectly balanced and more than fine.
I do think the Benefictus should. I want him to join other units, but the fact that
him Primus, joining a Primus,
yeah, the Primus alone kind of makes it not able to happen, right?
Yeah, that would be. We get the budget Primus in Xenocreed.
Oh, exactly. One thing I want from the data slate. I want the Magus to be usable.
Magus,
yeah,
that would be good. Yeah, because
I miss her.
Yeah, she's still languishing, even with her changes.
I have 9 Maguses because you get them in every box ever, and I can't use them.
Yep.
They're all staring at you right now.
I miss the days of 9th where I had a very psychic-heavy meta over where I was, so I took her with the Unwilling Orb in Custom Cult, and it was... I remember my Thousands... I went up against a Thousand Suns opponent who didn't understand... And he like put like 10 Terminators in his backfield to like try and teleport them up, and he would only use his Cabal points to auto pass the test, not make it undeniable. So I kept fucking denying him and kept his Terminators in his backfield for 3 turns until finally it's like turn 4, and he's like, "Fine, I'm just gonna roll it. Cool, I made it. I'm spending these. It can't be denied." I was like, "Cool, the game's over, brother."
Yeah, I'm 50 points ahead. Sorry, dude. Yeah. I would love to have a reason for my Magus to leave my shelf, because she is just covered in dust and unpainted, so she's not doing anything right now.
I am still running my amazing colonist. That guy is doing work.
Yeah,
I've never my Clamavis is even built. He's just chilling on sprue.
I have so much guard around me, and there are so many Aqualons, I need him.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, guys. Well, this is the old end.
This has been fun.
Yeah, yeah. I've enjoyed just shooting the shit about GSC. Any last any last spears you want to throw? Any parting thoughts? Elias, we'll go with you first.
Is this where I do some shameless promotion for Vesla, or is that later? Yes.
Yeah, no, you can do your plugs now too.
Okay, so yeah, if you play in Sweden, come and join us at discord.gg/Vesla. We're probably the biggest community in Sweden right now. We are doing coverage of, for example, WTC. We did Swedish Masters not too long ago, and we put out content every now and again. So come join us over there. If I want to throw us some more spears, just give me back Crossfire. That's all I'm wishing for.
All right, how about yourself, Floof?
So if this has been great, my name is Floof. You can find me on YouTube under Nexos Floof. I put out content whenever my ADHD lets me remember to finish editing videos. And if ever you find yourself in the NorCal area, come visit me over at Elite Cards and Games. That is where my team resides from. It's one of the better areas in the NorCal area. Super great place, super loving, has helped build one of the best communities I have seen in 40K. And I think that covers all of my bases. I'll just leave on something spicy. GSC is meant to be a hard faction, so it shouldn't be buffed to a point to where it's easy to play. So simply get good.
I did a lot
good. Yeah. I'll third it. But I'll make sure that I'll put links to everything in the show notes so you guys can go check out at your leisure. I also highly recommend joining our Discord. The plan is post holiday season, I want to do a bit more. I am planning on doing a painting competition where the grand prize will be a commission painted patriarch. So the only thing you have to do to enter into the painting competition will be to be a subscriber to the Discord server, which is about $6 a month. It helps cover all the costs of hosting the hosting things, the podcast, and it is going towards making improvements to the podcast, such as custom emotes. I'm working on having someone make a super cool song for the intro, so, and then hopefully some YouTube content down the line. So please come and check out the Discord. That will be also in the links below. But I want to say a special thank you to Elias and Floof for coming on. It was great to have you both on, and talking shit about GSC is what I love. So thank you.
Oh, yeah,
thank you for popping on. And
thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Right. Hopefully we can get you guys back on soon. Thank you all for listening. And we'll see you around.